welcome to this inspiring message by Paul Van Essen at Greater Life Church. For more information about us, do visit our website.
So God's got a destiny for you. And we talk a lot about that, but it's really important that you understand that. There's a couple of verses here and I've put them together. You are God's masterpiece. That's what Ephesians 2 verse 11 says. You are a work of art. You were dreamt about by God before this planet. I know I've said that before, but I want you to really understand that. God, before he built the planet, before the earth was there, before the seas and the oceans and the fish and the black bears and everything else were there, God dreamed you in his heart. God dreamed young Ethan over there in his heart. And he had you in mind and he prepared a great purpose for your life. There's a lot of verses that talk about it, but here's one. Jesus said in John 10:10, he came that you would have life and that you would have it. It sounded a little quiet in here, Torsten. You'd have life in? An overflow of life. Just a ridiculous amount of life. There's another verse that's a little bit like this, talking about prayer. It says in John, I think it's 16:23, it says, you ask. Up to now you haven't asked in my name, but ask and you'll receive so that your joy may be full. And actually that word, if you look the Amplified Bible, some of the other Bibles that talk about it, it expresses it like you. One of the meanings for that is that you jump in the air and twirl, which is something we're not going to demonstrate right now. Owen will probably demonstrate for you later on. But it's you're so full of joy. You ever felt like that? How many people remember as a child having moments when you felt like that? Some of us will. And unfortunately, we get to adult stage and we kind of think like, we're not children anymore. No, you're supposed to be overflowing with joy. Just twirling with delight. And that is the purpose God has for you. So now there's a road, though, to get there. And I've called it a surprising road because it's a little different to get there than many people think. And that's why, in my experience, a lot of Christians don't arrive at all of the joy of their destiny, or else they kind of get partway along, but they never experience, many never experience, the fullness of what God has. And I want to change that. You know those people we saw in that clip in China? There's going to be a lot of things they don't have in the natural world, you know. And they'll be probably a little bit tired because they get up really early every morning evidently to pray. And they would be cop some persecution. But what they will have, I can guarantee you, is a deep level of joy because of the visitation of God in their life. And I want to help everybody I have anything to do with to discover the destiny that God has for them. And so we've got a couple of verses. I'm sure they're going to pop up here soon. I think Carrie's just kind of reworking something there. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is the one that I wanted to look at. So we'll get there, I'm sure. There you go. So let's have a look at this. Here you go. And I just want us and we've got a little bit of time, but I don't want to run too long today. We had a good time in worship. We had a good time in communion. But let's just let this speak to our heart. This is an incredible, one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And Paul's writing to Christians, like I'm talking to you as Christians. And he says, no eye has seen, nor any ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, or the heart of man hasn't imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. So God's prepared stuff for you. But your natural person, your normal thinking, your traveling through life as you normally would, as people normally would, it can't enter your heart. You won't catch it. You won't know it. Those things God has revealed to us through his Spirit. Everyone say, through the Spirit. Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to say, now the Spirit searches everything. The Holy Spirit is not a force, he's a person. There's three parts to the Godhead, and we're kind of made like we're three parts as well. You know, we're spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body, and there's that sense where we're made in God's image in that way. But they all work together very closely, so it would be very difficult for me to have much communication with just your body if your soul and your spirit weren't resident. You know what I'm saying? They work together. And God is like that. He works together. So there's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and they have different roles. But the part that the Spirit does is he searches everything. He searches, he knows the deepest things of God. He's just as much God as Jesus is. He's just as much God as the Father is. The reason that we are perhaps a little unaware of that in the Christian church in general is because his job or his function is always to glorify Jesus. So he will come in and help us to lift up Jesus. And as soon as you engage your heart to lift up Jesus, he'll be there helping you. But that's not to say that we should not be conscious of him, because we should be conscious of him. So when we say, for instance, we're walking with God, in reality, you're walking with the Holy Spirit, who is God, also called the Spirit of Christ. Because Jesus right now in his new body is seated at the right hand of God, the Father in heaven. And the Father in heaven is seated on a throne. But when we say that like God is omnipresent, it's the Holy Spirit that's here. And if you feel the presence of God, sense the presence of God as we did when we're worshiping, as we can now while we're talking about him, this feeling, this sense comes in the room that we're not just having a discussion reading from a book, but that somehow there's something supernatural going on. Are you with me? That's the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit. And he searches everything, the depths of God. And now look at this verse here. It's verse 12. It says, now we have received. Everyone say, I have received.
I have received.
I've received. We talk about you've received Jesus, and that's fine. There's no problem. But it's the Spirit of Jesus, actually. So now we have received not the spirit of the world. So there's a spirit in this world that pushes people a certain direction. You read a newspaper, you can get any newspaper today, whatever, and mostly it'll be full of hearsay, gossip, slander, putting people down, putting Boris Johnson down, putting Jeremy Corbyn down, putting everybody down. Donald Trump, he's easy to put down. Everybody does it. And that doesn't... Now, if you stood in the presence of God, you'd find it very hard to do those things, because the Holy Spirit is not in criticizing people. He's not in deception. He's not in lying. He's not in gossip. He's not in, you'll see lots of what we would call fleshliness, you know, bawdy kind of behavior and women in various stage of undress trying to sell newspapers. And all that stuff, the root of all that is the spirit of the world. Which is why it's pointless hating people or disliking people or disapproving of people that might behave like that, because the real problem is that they're subject to a spirit and they don't generally even know it. And as soon as we put up a wall or we put them down, or I'm not condoning all kinds of behavior, I'm saying there's spiritual things at work that influence the way we live. You could put it this way, I've said it before, the spiritual world, which coexists with this natural world, is this master world. It's the world of God. It's the world somebody taps into, if I can use that term, when we prophesy or we get a word from somewhere, like Lucille was saying, when she's with those people there in that home, and then she feels like she gets a word from God for a certain kind of person, and because it's breathed out of heaven, it brings an impact in the earth. Your mouth is usually the thing that releases that. Your mouth is a really important part of you. But that, see, that comes out of, and if we are going to bring the kingdom of God into people's worlds, and that's true of the non-Christian world, but it's also true of Christian people, because there are lots of Christian people that have done this. They've signed on the dotted line, so to speak. They've said, yeah, I believe in Jesus. He is the Son of God, and I put my trust in him, and so they're born again. And that makes you, according to the Bible, like you're a new person, but you're a baby, just like you would be born like 3 and a bit years ago. Ethan was born, and he's Ethan will grow, and we're all expected to grow. But spiritual growth is a choice; it doesn't happen automatically. So, if you could see into the spiritual world, not just the natural world, you might see that some of the smartest, best-looking Christians with the nicest cars turning up, being very nice and polite at church, you might find that if you could see in the spirit world that they're still got a dummy in their mouth and still dribbling and still wearing nappies. Because spiritually they haven't grown. Kind of, I'm on the right topic. I'm not quite talking about what, but I'm on the right vein. See, so that world, that's the master world. And what we want to do is not just introduce people who have never met God, but if we can help Christian people, that's you and me, to get to know this person called the Holy Spirit, to become familiar with that, all of a sudden, you can tap into, if I can use that term, and God can drop a word in your heart, or God can drop a vision in your heart, or God can grace you with a particular anointing, a gift, which might be for a long time, or it might just be in one particular moment, and you might pray for somebody that's had, like we've had here, lots of different stories. I remember, I love that story of that Toz's mum. I forget her name now. I think it was Toz's mum. Esther, remember that? And she came in, and she's got this really bad wrist, and it's been hurting her for months. How many people remember that? Just so you know. And well, you heard about Ethan anyway this morning. That's a great story. But I remember that. And she'd had this bad wrist, so we said, well, let's just ask Jesus to touch it. So he came out, and I laid hands on her, and she was, like, shocked. She was like, it's gone. And she's trying to make it hurt again, you know. And we can, if we're still immature, then we think we've arrived because something like that happened through us. But if we'll continue to grow, we'll realize that actually all we did was learn to walk in this realm that we've all been born into, and not stay at babyhood nappy stage, but grow in these things and become more familiar. So that's the thought here. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. That to me is one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. I put the so in, but that's what it means. If you leave it out, it just says, we've been given the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. So God has freely given you these things, a lot of things. God has freely given you health. God has freely given you healing. God has freely given you gifts. Could be gifts of healings, could be prophecy, could be special faith, could be bringing a message in other languages and then interpreting that message. There's 9 of them that you see in 1 Corinthians 12, and there's all different ways they express themselves. So they're all different. In those gifts show themselves differently. One man might prophesy like this, and a woman might prophesy this way. Somebody might speak into the future out of a vision they see. Somebody else might speak into the future out of an anointing that God's put on them, and they hear the word of the Lord. Somebody else might speak into the future because they have a dream, and in the dream they see somebody come to them and tell them a certain thing's going to happen. So, and we have all that, you know, Carrie, she gets more dreams than I do. And the lady just had brilliant dreams recently. She'll tell you about them soon, I'm sure. And about woke up twice in two different nights, one following the other, with the same dream, which actually had to do with us and our destiny and what God is doing and what God has in mind. See, so there are different ways those things can all happen. But those are all forms of word of wisdom, what the Bible, which has to do with seeing into the future, having a piece of wisdom about the future. But the point here is that these things that freely given to us by God, how do you understand them? How do you understand those things? Not with the intellect. So we're talking about the road to your destiny. See, most Christians, and I don't mean to be critical, please hear my heart, but most of us have educated our minds at the expense of our spirit. And it's good to have an educated mind. It'll help you. But you just don't apprehend God that way. If you want to be a doctor, or you want to be an engineer, or you want to be a BT cellular line, what do you call those guys? What do you call those that Sam's doing? What do you call that? Engineer with those, you know, light, and you got to, and one little thread will talk to 26,000 houses or something like that, isn't it? Something crazy. But you've got to know what you're doing. You've got to learn stuff, and that'll have to do if you want to teach. Like Helen heads up a school. You've got to learn some stuff, and you've got your intellect, and that's a good thing. That'll help you. But that's a different thing. Now, they work together, but that's a different thing to knowing the things of God. So what's happened is a lot of people have tried to reach their destiny, have tried to walk into a path that God has got for them, but most of their understanding of God is intellectual. And so we know, well, we must pray. You know, this is a Bible principle. We must put God first. Yes, we must. And we must pray, and we must read and believe the Bible. And all those things are good. But you can agree with all those things and still stay in an intellectual world. Whereas real praying is communicating with God. And when you get into that zone, then something is being downloaded when you talk to him. And you might have a person that is ill that you care for, and you can do it, you can pray it what might be a more intellectual way and say, well, the Bible says that healing belongs to you, so amen. And you might have a limited measure of success with that, and I'm not putting that down. But then if you took time to actually communicate with the Holy Spirit, you might find that he would reveal to you what this person needs to do in order to be healed. It could be that there's an issue of forgiveness that they haven't dealt with. I remember John Lake, he understood these things. He was a great minister, and I'm going to close in just a couple of minutes. Helping you today? And John Lake, he was a tremendous minister in the end of the 1800s and the earlier part of the 1900s. And he said this interesting thing, which you might want to remember, because we're going into the direction of communication and communion with God. And he said, you know, all the deepest revelations I've had, that the way that I grasp and have understood spiritual things is primarily by the gift of praying in other tongues or praying in other languages. In fact, he said in a different place, he said, I owe my ministry to praying in other tongues. That's a remarkable thing. That's not exactly my topic. But the point is, when you pray in the Spirit, it's not just another thing you tack in your Christian belt and say, well, I've got that gift now and I've got that. It actually is your spirit rather than your intellect praying. And when you pray that way, you'll find this, that it's kind of weird in the beginning because I don't get what I'm saying, you know. And if you're so used to your head buzzing with information and whatever else, then it's kind of odd. But if you'll continue to pray in the spirit, your spirit person will become more alive because he's chatting and talking, and or she in the case of a woman. And hearing, and your mind quietens down, and you will begin to perceive things that you can't perceive any other way. And I remember, so Lake was ministering in this situation. You know, he's praying for this person and for healing, because that he was, you know, when he took attributed so much to his praying in tongues, he said he was responsible. He was the leader of a healing school, healing rooms in a city in America that had 100,000 medically certified doctors signed off on it. That was the case. This is now the case. 100,000 medically certified healings in one city in America, Spokane, in a five-year period. Which, if you do the maths, is like 60-something medically certified healings every day for 5 years. That city was voted by non-Christian people as the healthiest city in America. Understandably, pretty impressive statistics. But he was praying for one guy who came forward for healing. And he's ministering to him. And what he would do, which is what I'm encouraging you to do when it talks about engaging, finding your destiny, is to get in tune with the world of the Spirit. So whether he prays in tongues, whether you need some time with God, he's praying, he's ministering. The Spirit of God is on him. And he says, now what's this $5,000 that keeps coming up before me? It's like, a revelation comes, something comes. And this immediately this guy says, well, I think it was his brother or somebody else, he owed $5,000 and had done for years. And he said, go and make that right and then come back tomorrow or when you do that, and then we'll pray and then you'll get your healing. And see, you could have prayed and believed in faith and stood on the word of God and done all those things, which are all valid things to do. You could have done it for years. But one inkling from the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, you can see or hear or grasp something. You can know the things. Isn't it an amazing verse? There might be one other verse here, and then we're going to close. Let me see what I've got next here. No, what's the next one after that? Is there another one? Yeah, okay. Let's close there, because you will know this. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, and I've put in there, intimacy and partnership of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So you quote that. You go to a church meeting. I didn't grow up like that. So, you know, they call it the grace. Is that right? And you can all say the grace. I don't even know it properly. Forgive me. I grew up in Australia. They're rough out there, I'm telling you. So sometimes I've been in meetings. I'm okay now, but sometimes I've been in kind of ministers' meetings, you know. And they're like, oh, let's all say the grace. And I know the verse, but I don't know it the way they know it, you know. It's kind of funny. I just thought I'd throw that in there for you. But in any case, it's fine to be able to say it. But notice what it says. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now, that word fellowship in Greek is koinonia. You might have heard of it before. It's a funny word, koinonia. Everyone say koinonia. But it means intimacy and partnership. So when Paul signs off this letter to these Christians, he's saying, here's what's important. You know, the love of God, the grace of Jesus, the love of God. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's intimacy and partnership. We do everything together. He's the senior partner, is the way Yongyi Cho refers to him. And Yongyi Cho, and you know, we might talk a little bit more about this next week. But Yongyi Cho is a young pastor, had I think 3,000 people in his church, and he was doing well. There was a lot of big churches in Korea, not just his. And they would pray for an hour in the morning together at 5 a.m. the 5 a.m. prayer meeting. He'd pray for 3 hours a day. But it wasn't, the church grew, but then it stopped at 3,000, and he was extremely frustrated because there were other churches that were much bigger, and he felt like this is not right. So in one of these prayer meetings, and he's been praying like this for years, in one of these prayer meetings, the Holy Spirit kind of falls upon him. He said it was kind of like not a trance, but he was very conscious of the Holy Spirit's power. And God spoke to him.
this Holy Spirit person. And he said to him, you know what your problem is? And he said, no, I'd like to know. And he said, you need to have real fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And Cho began to say, well, I'm born again by the Holy Spirit. I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I pray in other tongues. And then the Holy Spirit said to him, and that's where you're going wrong. Because you're treating the Holy Spirit just like an entertainer. And you know, when I heard that, and I heard it a few years ago now, it reminded me of situations I'd been in as a younger Christian, which was a kind of a Pentecostal or Spirit-filled church, where we'd have lots of people healed and exciting things. But I remember thinking that makes sense to me now. Because the Holy Spirit said, or God said to him, he said, you're treating the Holy Spirit just like an entertainer. He'll come up and do a few tricks. You know, the leg lengthening miracle, that's a good trick. So I've heard ministers speak exactly like that. You know, that's a good, not good trick, that's a good miracle to get. It's kind of like he does these performances. And that's not what he wants. He wants fellowship. And at that point, after that vision, Cho said, I decided from then on that the Holy Spirit would be my closest friend. And then everything else changed. And so his church grew from 3,000, it's now whatever, 750,000. It's like, but if you asked him, he'd say it's all attributed. And he prayed for years, you see, and praying is good. But it's praying conscious of this other person that has a word for you, that knows your destiny better than you, that is totally committed to you. And that's the most wonderful thing about being a Christian, that there actually is a God at the other end of this deal that we can walk with. Will I close and we'll pray? I don't know if we get a chance to put some quiet music on. I feel like the Holy Spirit is here speaking to us. Am I right? Do you feel that? So let's just take a minute, just 1 minute, a little bit of quiet music, then we'll have our coffee and our stuff together. But every time we meet together as a people, as a community, as a church, it's so important to me. It's more important to me than anything that God visits you and speaks to you and encourages you, and that you have this sense that you've been in his presence. People are crying out for that, Christians as well as non-Christians. So, Father, we just thank you that you sent Holy Spirit to speak to us, to guide us, to show us the things that belong to us, and to surprisingly take us on this destiny you've marked out for us. And where we've been too intellectual, where we've been too systematic and not engaged enough in partnership, we just repent of that. We say we're sorry. We need to make an adjustment here on the inside of us. And so let's just take 30 seconds in the presence of God. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. And you may need to make just some adjustments, and that's what Christian life is. Repentance isn't necessarily a big, heavy thing. It's just a thing in your heart where you say, I need to change my thinking here. And every time you do that, every week you're here and God, the Holy Spirit, he speaks to you, you start to discover you're walking on this magnificent road to destiny. And you start getting there and you think you don't even almost don't know how you got there, because it wasn't intellectual understanding. But you partnered with someone who knows the end from the beginning. Thank you, Lord. I pray you speak to every person here. I pray you, Holy Spirit, cover our families. Cover our spouses and our children and our parents and those that we know. Anoint us to bring the presence of you, Lord God, the presence of Jesus, into every situation we face this week. Strengthen our hearts and help us to hear you and to sense you more clearly than ever before. In Jesus' wonderful name. And if you believe it, say yes.